many of you know what it is to feel unsettled? And I don't mean that situation where you think to yourself, ugh, I really shouldn't have had that sixth piece of pizza. I'm not talking about that kind of unsettled. I'm talking about an unsettledness of mind, of emotion, or of heart. Just a sense that maybe something's not quite right, or a sense of distraction as you go through life, a sense of I'm not where I should be, or I just don't feel like I'm where I should be. Maybe it's fear that has crept into your life for one reason or another, and you just, that fear causes you to feel unsettled. Some circumstance that has come into your life that has stolen that feeling of settledness. Well, as we're in the 57th Psalm, I want you to look with me as we begin just at the title. It helps us to understand the context. The title David places on this psalm is to the chief musician, Altishith Mitcham of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. By the way, that term Altishith, it simply has the meaning thou shalt not destroy. And of course, it says to us when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now, there's two occasions that this could possibly relate to. 1 Samuel 22. If you'll recall what we've been seeing in Psalms here recently, Psalm 56 relates to 1 Samuel 21. And we took the perspective of sliding, the idea of sliding in life, getting on a slippery slope and just sliding. And David found himself there. He fled from Saul to Gath. That seems kind of like a silly thing to do, doesn't it? To the enemy land, the hometown of Goliath, whom he had slain. And he appeared before Achish. And Achish, the king of Gath, the king of Philistia, is curious about why his soldiers, his guard, have brought David before him when David begins acting the crazy man. And at some point in that whole ordeal, David comes to himself. He recognizes his slide and he deals with it. 1 Samuel 22 opens by telling us that David returns to the wilderness region of Judea and he comes to the cave Adullam, a cave with a name, so it must have been known. It was a recognizable cave and location, and David is there. It could be that the background comes from 1 Samuel 26. Another place where David is in a different part of the wilderness, he's in a different cave. And though the previous psalm, Psalm 56, contains similar themes, it identified what David did when he realized he was sliding, this psalm represents how David was settled. He's still hiding from Saul. He still has enemies all about. And yet, David is settled. I want you to follow along as I read Psalm 57, but as I read, I want you to pay attention to the demonstration of settledness. Ask yourself the question as we read, what stands out to me? What demonstrates David being settled? Psalm 57, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Did you see any demonstrations of David's settledness? What stood out to you? It was verse 7 that arrested my attention. Not once, but twice, David says, "My heart is fixed." The Hebrew word behind this translation of fixed has a wide range of meanings. And as you look through the Old Testament, this one Hebrew word is translated at least 26 different ways with 26 different English words or phrases. On the screen, I've shown you the lexicon entry for the word. A lexicon is kind of like our dictionary. You'll have words that have one or two line meanings. You can see you can't read that. It's a huge entry because it's a complex word. And I saw something at the end of the entry I've never seen before when I've used the lexicon. After all of that, the last statement in the entry was this. Note, further study may yield more domains. In other words, here's all of this, and it may mean even more than this. It's a complex word. Let me simplify it for you this evening. The idea in Psalm 57, when David says, "My heart is fixed," is established or steadfast. One put it this way, to be marked by firm determination or resolution, to be unshakable. That's special. Think about where David just was. He was sliding. He was running from Saul. He was alone. He was depressed. He was discouraged. He was certainly in danger. And he fled from the place where Saul was seeking him out to Philistia, a place that's not any better for him to be. And he's sliding. But now look at where David is. He returns to Judea. He is still on the hiding out, basically. But rather than sliding, David is in a settled place. My heart is fixed. In the midst of all of this, my heart is unshakable. Now notice, this isn't because things have changed. In fact, in verse number 4, David said it was that at this time, his soul was among lions. In verse number 6, he said his soul was bowed down. So David is still in a place of humanly speaking, in a place of danger. He's still in a place where he is distressed, where his soul is burdened and weighed down. But then and there, David could say, my heart is fixed. It's unshakable. I'm in a settled place. So that brings a question to my mind. What is a fixed heart? What does it mean to be settled even in a place of difficulty? Let me give you three thoughts tonight. Number one, a heart that is fixed is a heart secured with peace. A fixed heart is a heart secured with peace. As you read through Psalm 57, this psalm is replete with declarations of David's trust in God as a refuge who will protect David until the dangers are past. Did you see that specifically in verse number 2? Verse 1, my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. David says, God, I trust you. You're my refuge. And I know I can depend upon you until these dangers are past. Until all of these things that trouble me, all of these difficulties are over. There's a clear demonstration of that trust found in 1 Samuel 22. Again, likely the background to this, David has returned from Philistia. He's back in the region of Judea. He is hiding in the cave of Adullam. And in that place now, David brings his family and makes sure that they're secure. He has now this band. I love the Bible uses alliteration. He has all these people come to him who are distressed, who are discouraged, and who are discontent. And he gathers them to himself, and they become his band, his small personal army. And then toward the end of 1 Samuel 22, we learn about the result of part of David's slide. He had gone to Nob, remember? Where he spoke with Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech the priest provided David with showbread, provided him with Goliath's sword. And there was a man by the name of Doeg there who witnessed this take place. In 1 Samuel 22, Doeg reports that David had been there to Saul, and Saul came with soldiers to Nob, questioned Ahimelech, and slew Ahimelech and all the other priests that were there at Nob. What a picture of how far he had fallen. But there was one son of Ahimelech by the name of Abiathar who survived, and he made his way to and found David. And David speaks to him and essentially says, I knew that day, I saw Doeg was there, I knew that he would betray me to Saul. And David essentially says, the blood of Ahimelech, your father, and these others are in part on my hands. But then David says this at the end of the chapter, verse 23, abide thou with me. Notice, fear not. Don't be afraid. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. Now, stop there. I don't know about you, but if someone says, hey, stay with me, don't be afraid. The guy looking to kill you, he's looking to kill me too. That's not very encouraging, is it? I mean, that if I'm trying to convince someone not to be scared, that's not helpful. So my daughter, my oldest daughter, Brooklyn, she and Evelyn about, I don't know, a year, year and a half ago, flew to New York with my in-laws to stay with them for a week. It was their first time flying. In the fall, when we took our trip and spent a little time with my parents in Illinois and then Steph's parents in New York, while we were in Illinois, my dad took full advantage. We carried our internet box with us, and we can pretty much carry it anywhere, use it anywhere. My dad took full advantage because they don't have any internet there in Illinois. And so we had our internet box. We signed into our different streaming things. And my dad loves documentaries, like real life documentaries. And so he asked me, do you have anything with documentaries? So I showed him one of the streaming services with documentaries. And he found this documentary all about when plane flights go bad, like when it's horrible. And so they watched this true story after true story about these flights that crash and everybody dies. And even today, months later, I'm not exaggerating, today at lunch, Brooklyn made the statement. She said, I am never flying again, even if I have to. Why, Brooklyn? Because of the things I watched with Papa. I don't want my plane to crash into the water. And I told Brooklyn, you know, Brooklyn, it's more likely that you would die in a car wreck than in a plane wreck. Like, and you don't have a problem getting in a car. Now, I'm trying to encourage her. Let's say I did something like what David did. Brooke, don't worry about flying. Don't be afraid. It's very likely you'll get in a plane crash. It doesn't make sense, right? David says, hey, don't be afraid. The guy who's seeking your life, he's seeking me out too. Stay with me, but don't be afraid. But then notice what David says. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. The Hebrew word translated safeguard literally means protected, preservation of life. In fact, the word is sometimes used to describe a sentry or a guard at his post who is guarding the person or guarding the location or whatever it is. He is faithfully doing his duty to protect and to preserve what he's been assigned to protect and preserve. And here's the interesting thing. Do you think that at this point, David is telling this man this because David is taking responsibility for the life? I don't believe so. I think whereas in 1 Samuel 21, David is fleeing because he's afraid of Saul, David is now at peace. David is now trusting God. Saul's seeking my life, but guess what? He's not going to get it. Abiathar, yes, Saul is seeking my life, but Saul's not going to be victorious. Why? Because I trust God. He's my refuge. And so he was at peace. David's trust produced peace in the middle of his problems. He felt secure in his heart, even though there were a host of assailants, because he put his trust in God. Friend, did you know that you can have the same kind of peace? I don't think it's by accident. There's certainly a relation. David said his soul was among lions. The Bible says we have an enemy of our soul who is like a roaring lion. But in the midst of the problems and the difficulties that you and I face in this life, in the midst of the problems and the difficulties that our enemy can bring our way, we can have peace just like David did. We can have a settledness in our heart because of the peace that secures our heart. The Bible says it this way in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Here's a guarantee and the rationale behind the guarantee. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Well, how can we trust in the Lord? Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Here the Bible makes a promise. God keeps in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. What does it mean to have a mind stayed on him? Trust in him. Well, how can I trust in God? Because in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I have reason to have confidence in him. And if that's not enough, Jesus promises to supply you with his peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, how can I live life that way, especially when problems and difficulties and my enemy is coming at me? Because Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. You don't need to depend on your peace. I'm going to give you mine. What does Jesus' peace look like? Well, do you remember the time when the disciples and Jesus were on the boat in the storm? What was Jesus doing while they were crying for their lives? He was sleeping in the midst of the storm. And so a fixed heart is a heart secured with peace. Number two, a fixed heart is a heart established with purpose. A fixed heart is a heart established with purpose. Notice David's repeated declaration found in verses 5 and 11. He says here again, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. These verses illustrate David's recognition of his ultimate purpose. What was David's ultimate purpose in life? His life, David's life, was prepared and purposed to exalt and give glory to God. And friends, ultimately, isn't that your purpose and mine? Our lives are prepared by God, purposed by God to exalt Him and give Him glory. Think about the problems and the difficulties that you sometimes face in life. There are things that we experience that become big issues that really would be non-issues if we lived in that place of recognizing my life, my existence is to exalt and bring glory to God. Again, I find this demonstrated in 1 Samuel 22. Look at 1 Samuel 22 in verse number 3. This is when, at the beginning of the chapter, when David brings his parents to him, his family. David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. He's going to leave his family there. And he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you. Notice this, till I know what God will do for me. Now don't forget, Psalm 57, David is still in a dangerous place. David is still facing problems and difficulties. But he now is in a place of settledness. Why? Because he knows God is going to do something for him. How can David know that? How can David believe that God is going to do something for him? I believe it's because David knows that God has a purpose for him. You see, friends, you and I can live in a place of settledness, even when we have problems and difficulties. If we recognize God has a purpose. He has a purpose for my life. I can say that that ultimate purpose is to exalt and to give glory to Him. But we can even bring it down to the daily life, can't we? God has a purpose for this day. God has a purpose for this moment. God has a purpose for this circumstance. Yes, God has a purpose for this problem. God has a purpose for this difficulty. I may not know what it is. I may not see it all right now. And that's why I believe David said to the king of Moab, let them be with you until I know what God will do for me. I'm in this danger. I'm facing these problems, but I know God is going to do something for me. Look at how he says it in Psalm 57 in verse number 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that what? Performeth all things for me. God is at work. He's working even in the midst of the problems and the difficulties, and that work will bring about His purpose. So even when I'm facing problems, even when I have difficulties, I can have a settled heart, an unshakable heart that is established with purpose. Notice number three, a fixed heart is a heart secured with peace. It's a heart established with purpose. Finally, a fixed heart is a heart saturated with praise. Look at verses 8 through 11 again, would you? Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Why, David? I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Now, when you saw David in 1 Samuel 21, running from Judea to Nob, and from Nob on to Gath, and making himself crazy in the court of Achish, does that look like or seem like someone who is saturated, who is filled with praise for God? It doesn't seem like it, does it? David is acting on his own thinking. He's acting on his own wisdom. He's sliding. But he comes to that realization. He corrects it. He course corrects. And now David is in a settled place. And how do we find him? The problems are still present. The difficulties are still evident. And yet David praises God. He expresses clearly he's in a dangerous place, and yet he responds this way. And we would expect, as we see in other places, a plea for deliverance. Certainly there's nothing wrong with a plea for deliverance, but in this place where David is focused on a settled heart, an unshakable heart, there's no plea for deliverance. There is only praise. A prayer that you and I should lift up to the Lord is this prayer: God, help me to lift my praise in dangerous, uncertain, and troubling times. There's nothing wrong with pleading for God for deliverance, crying out to Him for the needs that you have. But when you are in a place of settledness, when you recognize that your heart is unshakable, your heart is fixed, that is a heart that is saturated with praise. The heart saturated with praise does not deny the problems, but it directs its attention to God in light of the problems. Not in spite of, or not ignoring the problems, but my eyes are fixed on Him in light of the problems that I'm facing. Fixed heart. It's a heart that is secured with peace, that is established with purpose, that is saturated with praise. We understand that this represents a fixed heart, but now an important question: how do I develop a fixed heart? Okay, that I see that's what a fixed heart is, but how do I get there? And we could answer that question numerous ways, but I think an important answer that we can all practice is this simple one: surrender. Surrender. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar verses, but listen to what it says. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. How do I have a fixed heart? That heart that is secured with God's peace, that is established with His purpose, that is saturated with His praise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Hey, does anyone struggle with that? When you're going through problems and difficulties, how simple is it to turn it completely over to God without any of your own solutions, without any of your own wisdom to sort it out, to correct it, to fix it. We like to be in control, don't we? We want to be able to take care of it, to solve it. This is where it really gets real. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37 says it this way: commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit there literally means to roll it over completely unto him. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. How do you gain a fixed heart? Total surrender. Of life, of heart, obviously, in that situation, in the midst of those problems and difficulties, complete surrender. And when we do that, when it's a complete surrender that rolls the issue, the burden, the problem completely unto him, I can know my heart's fixed. It's unshakable. That problem, that difficulty, the enemy, he can't bother me because God's got it. I wonder if you know what it is to have a fixed heart. Life is full of problems, difficulties. The enemy is always lurking. Do you know what it is to have a fixed heart, to be settled completely? You can, as we take God's word and apply it. Father, thank you so much for this truth. I ask you that we would, with David, be able to say in the midst of our problems and difficulties, my heart is fixed. It's unshakable because our trust is completely in you. Lord, it is difficult to put Proverbs 3 into action completely. Often our lives, our relationship with you is a mixture of trust and leaning on our own understanding. But you say in to trust you completely with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understanding in any way, in all our ways to acknowledge you. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'd help us to take stock, to see in our lives where maybe there is some unsettledness that could be corrected by surrendering it completely to you. And I ask that you would help us to know what it is to have a fixed heart, in Jesus' name.